266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The First in the Nation caucus will be held tonight in Iowa, and despite the frigid cold temperatures, voters say they're ready.
It's exciting. I mean, it's cool that we get to make our voice and that people put a lot of interest into Iowa.
Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, and Vivek Ramaswamy have been stumping statewide for support to gain some ground on former President Trump. He's leading every major poll there. Much of the country is feeling the freeze, though. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
Below average temperatures will stay in place at least through Wednesday for over 200 million of us. For voters today in Iowa, highs won't get above zero, and our wind chills could be as low as 35 below at times, which could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 10 minutes.
Thousands of people had to evacuate a town in Iceland again following a second volcanic eruption.
The worst case scenario just happened, and that's what we're dealing with.
Experts there say small earthquakes triggered it. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. The Iowa caucuses are tonight, the first step to the Republican Party convention in Milwaukee this summer. Former U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he won't be there if Donald Trump is the nominee. Donald Trump Jr. says that's fine with him.
He's the rhino that the America First movement despises. So if he doesn't show up to the convention in Milwaukee, no one gives a damn.
Trump speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Home sales in southeastern Wisconsin saw an almost 20% decline from the same time last year. The Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors says the primary reason for the decline was the shortage of inventory due to a lack of new construction and new listings. The shortage led to an almost 6% increase in the average sale price, surpassing $400,000 for the first time. The realtors say new construction is needed to avoid problems. It's going to get even colder. Tonight and into tomorrow morning, a wind chill of 35 below is expected. The wind chill advisory runs through Wednesday morning. The National Weather Service says we'll have cold temperatures and wind chills of 20 below to 35 below, with a chance of bitter cold wind chills returning Friday night and into Saturday morning. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won in the Cowboys Stadium, including Super Bowl 45. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating of 157. Romeo Doubs on the Packers young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us, and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The Arctic blast is slapping us with brutal cold temperatures, with wind chill values making our high temperatures feel like 15 below. A wind chill advisory remains in effect through Wednesday morning. Winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour will drag our temperatures to feeling like negative 20 to 30 below. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. I'm going right to the lines. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. Thank you so much for covering these very, very important topics that people need to hear and understand. This is not politics as usual. You know, you've been following for a long time and working in it. I've been following for a long time. And I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what is wrong with people's heads. Would they want their daughters to be around Donald Trump, your young girls? I mean, this is so sick and alarming to me. I mean, the Republican Party has totally hit the swamp. I mean, it's gross. You know, to think of all the things that they have done, and I'm going to stick up today for women and children significantly, right, too, is because these role models and these leaders that they're picking out are just sick. I mean, I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene bringing porn pics, you know, and somebody talking about somebody's kahunas, you know, Joe Biden's son's kahunas to come to a... I mean, these people are gross. What are parents thinking to keep these people in office? They go after women, but yet they allow guns all over the place where children are getting shot up in schools. Where in the devil is their moral values? Because they use moral values to go after women. And even there's places where women who miscarry now may be criminally charged for treatment of a fetus. Now, give me a break. I mean, you know, it's like perverse. It's like psychotic. And I hope people wake up because, God darn it, we need normalcy. And those people sitting in Congress, they shouldn't even be allowed to step foot at the Capitol. I wouldn't hire them to walk my dog. They're very nutty, and we've gone nuts in our country. We need to get sanity back because it just keeps breeding this type of behaviors and thoughts and even toward the rule of law. I mean, can you imagine a criminal insulting judges like they are? And if that Supreme Court goes with this character, there's something wrong with their heads, and we're all in big trouble because right now he's threatening them. Right now he thinks they owe him. Every person that's been threatened by Donald Trump needs to get together and fight back because all they're doing is weakening every protection that we have in our country. Anyway, sorry for the rant today, but, boy, that guy is unbelievable, and I can't believe our neighbors in Iowa. Makes me really sad. Thank you very much, Matt. You have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much. As always, an excellent call, Jane. Yeah, and I'll build on that a little bit, because here you have a guy, Trump, in the Access Hollywood case, saying he would grab women, walk up to them, strangers. He said, but if you're famous, they let you do it, and he grabs them between the legs. And now he's claiming he didn't grab E. Jean Carroll between the legs. Well, the judge in that case is a tough cookie, and this is a different judge, Kaplan, a federal judge, and he just came down with a ruling. And he said Trump will not be permitted to say in court that he did not rape E. Jean Carroll. That's the ruling. In other words, this is only right now about damages. He said that the record of the previous case, because this is just another defamation case. Trump denied it. The jury came back and said he did sexually abuse her and that it was $5 million. Now he can't say, I didn't sexually abuse her, I didn't rape her. The jury's already found that. This jury's only going to decide money. Just like in front of Engoron, he's already been held to have committed fraud. How much money does he have to pay? Well, he then brings another motion. This just got resolved, where he goes, he wants to put in videos of E. Jean Carroll's interviews, which simply talk about her book. She wrote a book, and but he wants to make it look like, well, you know, she's media hungry. And, well, that has nothing to do with the jury finding that he sexually abused her. And what he did is he went into a dressing room and threw her up against the wall. She's kind of a slim woman, and he's enormous. I mean, the guy's got to be well over 300 pounds. And he throws her up, yanks up her skirt, puts his hand in her pants, and penetrates her with his fingers. And he said he didn't even remember her, doesn't even think he knew her. You know, the guy lies continuously, and this judge isn't putting up with it. He said, you are not going to say you didn't abuse her because the jury found out you did, and you are not going to try to show videos of her giving interviews, trying to sell her book, trying to make a few bucks. That has nothing to do with whether or not you did what you did. And a jury found that you did it. And this is a tough cookie. This judge is not going to get pushed around. But it gets back to the idea of threats. People are afraid of him because they are afraid of the random assassin coming in and going after their families. That's sadly what it is. Well, we're going to talk about redistricting. And the maps were in. They're now in Friday, as required by the court. And I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. You just called. I will get to you. There are seven maps, seven sets of maps. There was a map from Republican legislative leaders, from Evers, Democratic legislators, a UWM professor, the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, and another map from the plaintiff's lawyers, the law firm that represented the plaintiffs. And the Supreme Court said the maps have to be compact, according to the Constitution, equal in population, according to the Constitution, contiguous, that means you can't have little clumps of voters that don't touch anywhere else, and they'll take into account partisan impact. And this is important, the consensus of the maps, even the ones put in by Democrats, it would still be a 52% Republican legislature. Republicans would still get 52% of the seats. And in the Senate, they would get 17 seats out of 33. In other words, they get over half. But what they wouldn't get in the legislature is 64 to 35 and 22 to 11. That they won't get. See what the court does. I think that the court has been very, very skillful in how they've handled this. Be very, very hard for the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court to overrule them. Go to the lines. Cam of Nina, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cam. What's in your mind today?
I just wanted to add on to what you said about Trump with the new defamation case, how it's kind of a carryover from the previous one because he can't keep his mouth shut. As per right. An article from Newsweek that released today, they talked about what he specifically had, what the judge threw out specifically that Trump had brought forward or his team had brought forward. And it was that CNN interview with heard, like you had mentioned, where it was talking about a book. But what he was specifically wanting out of that is what made me sick enough that I knew that I just had to clarify it on the air for everyone else to hear. She talks in the interview about how some people think that rape is sexy. Some people just think it's like they think of the fantasies. And he has used this before and tries to misconstrue what she says in that interview, which totally, like, it taken out of context. Yeah, of course that can sound bad, right? But that's what he does. He's taking it out of context, trying to make her look like, oh, she enjoyed it. So he's no longer saying, no, I didn't do it. He's saying, well, if I did, then she enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, Cam. And the judges said that's not going to be put in because that isn't what she said. She didn't say she enjoyed it. But let me tell you something else. In the Access Hollywood tapes, he said on many occasions he's gone up and grabbed women between the legs. And he says, well, they let you do it. Well, yeah, some of them are afraid to go forward against a powerful guy, don't have the lawyer fees and all of that kind of thing. It's not that they enjoy it. I mean, have you ever heard of foreplay? I mean, come on, for God's sake, these are strangers, you know. No, this guy is a sick puppy. He's a very sick puppy. There was one case where he was sitting on an airplane and you know, there was the armrest and there's a woman next to him. He reaches over and puts his hand between her legs. You can't say the woman enjoys that. That isn't the case. The other thing is he threw her up against the wall of the changing room and yanked up her skirt and put his hand in her pants. Now, this guy's running for president of the United States. I mean, one of the things I also want to say is, if you are a Republican voter, put aside for a second that he's been taking money from the Russians. Put aside for a second that in the Steele report that he was involved in some very kinky stuff in a Moscow hotel room. Put aside for a minute that his son-in-law got $2 billion from the Saudis and he's defending Saudi Arabia. Put all that aside for a second. I don't, but you can go ahead and put it all aside. But nevertheless, you have a president who is, as Gina Beauclair pointed out, I mean, would you want him meeting women in your family? You know, the guy, it's not just, he's not a role model. This guy is a toxic, evil role model. He's a president, you know, he's going to run for president of the United States. So excellent call, Cam. I really appreciate it. Gene, I really appreciate yours. But then Republicans, I saw an interview with a guy named Zach Nunn, from congressman from Iowa. The clown gets on there and he says, well, you know, Trump would be better in foreign policy. Biden isn't standing up to Russia. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Biden is arming Ukraine to fight Russia. It's the Republicans who won't spend the money. And it's Trump who says that he admires Putin, that Putin's his friend, that Putin was very smart because for $2 in sanctions, he got all that land, Ukraine. Trump will betray the United States, Zach Nunn. Zach Nunn is a moron. I mean, go ahead, look the guy up. Absolutely no business being in the Congress. But they say stuff like this. Republicans say stuff, and we got to stand up to them. We can't permit this kind of disinformation to keep going on. Okay. Coming up, have you ever heard of Sammy the Bull Gravano? Well, you're going to hear about him. He's a strong Trump supporter. Hear about him coming up. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, have you ever heard of Sammy the Bull Gravano? See, all these people, the mafia, used to have nicknames, and they were proud of them, but they didn't have good legal advice. Little known fact, if you have a nickname, that's admissible in evidence, even though it's just a nickname. So if you have a nickname like Killer, the Bull, the Boxer, the Enforcer, that kind of thing, the minute a jury hears a nickname, they've made up their mind. Why would a guy be called Sammy the Bull? Or Sammy, in this case, he's also known as Sammy the Rat because he squealed on the Gotti family. Very, very dangerous thing to do. But, you know, they have all these nicknames that make them sound tough or supposed to scare you. Well, let me tell you something. If you get picked up and you get charged in front of a jury, that nickname is admissible in evidence, believe it or not. And the minute a jury hears that your name is the Bull or the Enforcer or the Hitman, you can talk to your blue in the face. Well, Sam, this guy was a criminal. He killed people. Why do I bring him up? Because Donald Trump just now praised him as someone who had praised Trump. Seriously. He said, look, Sammy the Bull Gravano had said something nice about Trump. When I first heard that, I figured it was Trump just shooting his mouth off. Because Sammy the Bull Gravano had said something nice about Trump, but I figured, all right, Trump just shoots his mouth off. Remember, he also said that he's been indicted more times than Al Capone, as if that, you know, is a badge of honor. Al Capone, who killed a lot of people. But I've read some reviews of that statement, and I have changed my mind. I think it's far more... it's far more dangerous than it sounds. The consensus of some experts is by saying Sammy the Bull Gravano was a hitman, so you might as well call him Sammy the Hitman Gravano, is that that's a message that Trump is sending covertly to the judges and the prosecutors in the cases against him. When a criminal defendant, and Gina Beauclair pointed this out too, insults judges and prosecutors the way this guy does and gets away with it so far with just a few gag orders and a $15,000 fine, that kind of thing. But a guy gets away with something like that, and because the judges are rightly don't want to jail a guy who's running for president and generate even more emotional support for him, tough decision. But when a guy praises a hitman, that is a message to people who this guy has previously said on social media, attacking judges, that they are against him and all this. He's very, very sneaky about the way he speaks. He's very oblique. He gives the impression of being very frank, of just saying crazy things and all that. But though this be madness, yet there's method in it. Remember in Hamlet, though this be madness, yet there's method in it. These are subliminal, not so subliminal. These are sneaky threats to people. When he says somebody is deranged, when he says somebody is out to get him, that is simply a directive to attack. And he doesn't have to give it explicitly. He knows that if he said something like kill the judge, that's a felony and he'd be arrested. If you or I said the stuff he says, we'd be arrested too. But the law is sometimes too fine-tooth combed about how they're looking at oblique threats and regular threats. And when both Mitt Romney and Nancy Pelosi, different parties, but respected in different parties, both said there were people that had said to them that they wanted to vote to either impeach or convict Trump, but they're afraid for the safety of their families. And then when you have one congressman who had to send a security guard to middle school with his daughter, to middle school. And when he attacked the FBI and a guy shows up with a gun in Cincinnati, he attacked Tanya Chutkan in Washington, D.C., woman came to kill her. Fortunately, he was arrested in time. And now, it's, you know, that's a, she'll get, if she doesn't get life, she'll get 20, 30, 40 years. They drop like flies. He's a walking crime scene. Everybody around him goes to jail, is indicted, gets fired, goes bankrupt. And this guy, what, walks scot-free? And some of them are still loyal to him. Some of them still call the stations, trying to stick up for him. Study history. When I say at the beginning that you're not woke if you don't know history, I mean that on the right and the left. You have got to study history and study the history of what this guy's doing. The reason I've said in the past that this reminds me of Berlin in the 19, or Germany in the 1930s. You may not remember, but starting in the 20s, after the First World War and the devastating Versailles Agreement and the intense economic pain in Germany and then the Depression, there were gangs, and they were communist gangs. There was briefly a communist government in Munich. There were communist gangs roaming the streets, and there were Nazi gangs roaming the streets. And there's one famous statement that one guy said to the other in Berlin at the time, there are violent Nazi gangs, anti-Semitic gangs roaming the streets. And the other guy said, yes, but not enough of them. And what's happening now, it's not Nazis and it's not communists, but it's far left and far right. And the confrontations, there have been some, but it's largely, who are you for? And so the business community in Germany, so it can't be for the communists. They were pro Lenin and pro Stalin after that. They really were. They were anti-Semitic. Stalin killed a lot of people. So businessmen didn't want that. But what happened with Hitler was he wasn't as well known. They surely figured, well, we can control this guy. He'll take care of these other characters and then we'll get on with it. And he was a worse monster. What's happening now, I saw it just coming on the air before I came on the air, the speculation about how Trump could use the military this time to suppress democracy. You know, the military academies are very, very pro-constitution. They understand it's a civilian government. They understand that they can't make policy. But if he gets the wrong people in there and starts using them domestically, and they're not supposed to use the military domestically, to stop demonstrations, to seize voting machines, and they do it, then your recourse is the six tarantulas. Do you think the six tarantulas will stand up to Trump? They did to an extent when it came to voting disputes. Do you think Eileen Mercedes Cannon would stand up to him? Do you think the clown federal judge in Texas, Amarillo, Texas, would stand up to him? Very, very important to focus this election the way it needs to be focused. Our democracy is at stake. Work very, very hard for Joe Biden and make very, very clear to everybody you talk to that all these arguments for Trump are pure baloney. Pure baloney. Okay, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and then we're going to have the strike by Biden staffers in the White House and in the agencies, it's got to stop.
Your home for the Devil's Advocate. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
News is sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com for more information.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The weather for the next few days will be bitterly cold, with highs in the single digits and potentially dangerous cold wind chills in the mornings. Today will be mostly sunny, windy, and cold, with highs only in the single digits. Cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are rising in Wisconsin at the same time vaccination numbers are down. Boston University's Dr. Monica Wang says health experts need to counter misinformation online.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for school children are up, but are still well below pre-pandemic levels. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Even though plow drivers have been at it for almost a week, Mother Nature still has a hold on some roads. With a burst of snow coming just before the temperature drop over the weekend, some snow was stuck in place and remains there, causing problems for drivers right now. Homeowners responsible for clearing sidewalks are in a similar situation, with good intentions bested by sub-zero temperatures. It was a Milwaukee College student that got some help from the Packers quarterback. UW-Milwaukee student Lucy Kurowski gained internet fame when Jordan Love tried to help her get her car out of a snowbank near Lambeau. She was there visiting family last week. Despite Love's attempt to assist, Kurowski stopped him considering his game yesterday. Eventually, she managed to get her car out and took a picture with QB1. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com, home of the superheroes.
Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won in the Cowboys Stadium, including Super Bowl 45. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game, was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating of 157. Romeo Doubs on the Packers young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us, and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The Arctic blast is slapping us with brutal cold temperatures, with wind chill values making our high temperatures feel like 15 below. A wind chill advisory remains in effect through Wednesday morning. Winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour will drag our temperatures to feeling like negative 20 to 30 below. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
better all the time. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a kerfluffle going on in Washington. You remember a little while ago, some staffers anonymously objected to the Biden, which is the Democratic Party foreign policy, standing up for Israel. There have been a lot of staffers hired from different backgrounds and different cultures. And they figure that they can take a shot at Biden, and they're mistaken. Well, here's what's happened now. There are staffers from more than two dozen federal agencies are set to strike tomorrow. This includes the Executive Office of the President, the NSA, National Security Agency, Homeland Security, Defense, and the FDA. There, up till now, there have been a series of these anonymous letters from staffers in the White House and the State Department, and some are coming from Biden's reelection campaign. Old-timers that are familiar with politics, and this is true in both parties, would say, shut up and support it or resign. Federal law already makes it a fine or a criminal 1 year in jail for striking like this when you have these kinds of positions. The GOP is trying to make an issue out of this, but Mike Johnson and Comer. Comer's the guy from Kentucky. Now, let me tell you something, and then we're going to go to the lines. I see you. If you have a job in the White House or a political campaign, it can be the president's campaign, it can be a Senate campaign, a congressional campaign, or in one of these agencies, State Department, NSA, and so on, you cannot freelance. You cannot strike. If you want to resign because you don't like our foreign policy, go ahead and do it. And if on the way out, you want to write a letter, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But to stay in the fold and then write anonymous letters and now strike, in my opinion, what Biden should do with every one of them that does this is terminate them. You cannot have the United States divided as it is. It's divided principally because people in the Republican Party won't promote, not just Tuberville, the rest of them won't help, won't promote our military officers, they won't pass a budget, they won't provide money to pay our troops, to run our government. They are an enemy of the United States, not the whole Republican Party, but enough of them that they are throwing sand in the gears. That's true in the Senate and the House. Now, it's also true of the tarantulas in the Supreme Court. Pardon me. However, the Democratic Party has a serious schism. Schism is a split, S-C-H-I-S-M. Very, very serious, from the far left to the, what I would call the mainstream. And the far left, not all of them, but some of them are anti-Semitic. And apparently a number of these staffers have been hired, and they're basically being hired on identity politics. And they do not share any of the values of the mainstream Democratic Party, in my view. So I think that you cannot show that level of disloyalty and freelance and foreign policy when you're put in those positions. You can simply not do it. Go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind, eh, Joe?
Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for bringing attention to MLK Day by speaking about the Green Book and how the Green Book, basically the book that told African-American people where you might be safe to get a hotel or restaurant as you travel around the United States, and how that Green Book, we had a version of it within Wisconsin. I think that's just fascinating. I didn't know that corner of history, and I really appreciate it. And in that spirit, I just wanted to bring attention to a couple of points on MLK Day to just sort of indicate how that stuff is still fresh and still needs to be worked on, and the value of a certain the value of certain people who challenge things. And just a couple of points I'll bring out. I was unaware of the fact that the first time the Beatles played in the United States in 1964, they absolutely refused to play any segregated places. They said, no, we just won't do it. And in 1953, Frank Sinatra challenged the segregation that was within Las Vegas and said, Sammy Davis Jr. is going to be opening for me, and if you don't like it, I'm not playing. And by 1960, that was an integrated place. Las Vegas wasn't previously, but in 1960, the mayor of Las Vegas said, we are going to be integrated. And in the same spirit, just coming off of this brilliant, brilliant, wonderful win by the Green Bay Packers over Dallas this weekend, which was such a great and wonderful bit of wonderfulness for us in this state, I wanted to remind people of a quote that Vince Lombardi had. He said, if you're black or white, you're part of the family. We make no issue over a man's color. I just won't tolerate anyone in this organization, coach or player, making it an issue. We respect every man's dignity, black or white. And he backed it up. You know, he, as I've indicated previously, Lombardi in the early 60s told the people who owned restaurants and hotels within Green Bay that if you don't serve my black players, I'm going to tell my white players that you're not to go there either. He basically was saying, I'm going to call for a boycott of your places unless you go ahead and serve African-Americans. And I think there's a reason why the ultimate prize in the NFL was called the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And on this day, after this great game yesterday, and as we think about our history and those people who came to the fore to really press for equality, man, he's the guy. And it's one of the reasons that we're proud of Green Bay, or at least I am. I just think it's a really wonderful, beautiful part of the state's history. Thanks a lot, Matt.
That's a terrific call, Joe, as are all your calls. And I couldn't agree more. I have had season tickets to Packer games since 1988. And I will tell you a little something about Vince Lombardi, too. Vince Lombardi is a graduate of Fordham University in New York. And so he had a much more kind of diverse and eclectic experience than a lot of other people. And he was a football player. He was on the team, and I forget if they called him the Seven Mules or the Seven Blocks of Granite. But he was a lineman, and nobody could score on these people. He was a great football player. But also, my uncle, my dad is a Fordham graduate. He, when he got back from the Marine Corps after the Second World War, he enrolled in Fordham University. I was born there. And his older brother was a classmate of Vince Lombardi. They had other people in that line, Woji Howitt, some of the others. Some of you old-timers out there may remember it, but Vince Lombardi was one of a kind, and he always exemplified the best. And frankly, Wisconsin's exemplified the best. My anecdote about the Green Book was just an historical fact that has to be recognized. I've talked to people, older African-American people, and that was a way of life. Before the mid-60s, you had to plan a road trip by the Green Book. You might not be served. It wasn't like there was a McDonald's and a Culver's along the way. You might not be served in some places. You couldn't go to a hotel, or you'd be insulted right in front of your family. You can't have that. And I really appreciate your call. Wonderful call. I want to talk now about one other case that's pending that is extremely serious, but that most people are not going to think about. And it's a case at the Raimondo case. It's against the Secretary of Commerce. It's Loper Enterprises versus Raimondo to overrule, and we expect that the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, will overrule the Chevron doctrine. So you may go, come on, Matt. You know, I like listening to your show. It's a little exciting. What's this business about this? Well, let me tell you something. In the mid-80s, there was a Supreme Court case, the Chevron case. And in the Chevron case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that given the administrative agencies we have and the complexity of issues, once Congress authorizes a law, say the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, say environmental laws, that agency can make rules to effectuate that. And those rules are binding as laws. Republicans, ever since then, have tried to attack it, trying to say that No agency can create any administrative regulation that has any effect unless Congress has already passed it or will pass it. But Congress is broken. Congress can't even pass a budget. Congress can't even pass a continuing resolution until the last hour. They can't promote our troops. They can't agree. Marjorie Taylor Greene brings naked pictures of Hunter Biden to a committee hearing, and what? The chairman lets her do it? Nancy Mace describes the genitals of Hunter Biden, and they think that's okay? Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar puts out a video which he kills Ocasio-Cortez, and he injures Joe Biden, and he's not prosecuted? This is the reality of Congress. When George Washington was president, there were no administrative agencies. There's no EPA. There's no Consumer Protection Agency. Everything was simple. But nowadays, in a complex society like ours, the greatest in the world, the greatest in the history of the world, you have agencies with experts, with PhDs in chemistry, biology, physics, everything you can think of, honing and refining regulations in consultation with industry. And the biggest industries are a big part of it, and they agree to this. What's happening in this Loper Enterprises versus Raimundo is it's a small fishery. And the small fisheries and the smaller outfits don't want any regulations. And so what's happening is that if the Supreme Court overrules the Chevron Doctrine, which is inaugurated in the Chevron case in the 80s, the biggest chemical companies, the biggest everything, want these regulations. They want certainty. Congress isn't going to pass them. We're going to have a Wild West where some states will have environmental laws and consumer protection laws, but a lot of states won't have them. And this particular Supreme Court is about to do that. Wisco Paul, my friend, what's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Very quickly here, money will corrupt, and the Supreme Court really corrupted politics. I don't know why they call it Citizens United, because it's anything but that. But that's totally corrupted politics. So the shining light is the state of Wisconsin. We have flipped the Supreme Court in this state, and I hope you're right, we get fair maps. But Citizens United, in my estimation, is just put a whole new light on where money can go in politics, and there's no light shed on it. So thanks for taking my call, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, it's a lawless case. It overruled 100 years of Supreme Court precedent and congressional action. It overruled the whole thing. Totally overruled it. Okay, Phil of Minneapolis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Phil of Minneapolis?
Well, this whole thing about the Chevron Doctrine is completely mind-blowing to me. As you say, if you don't know history, you don't know what you don't know what the framework is. Before World War II, chemical companies were making new compounds all the time, but it was relatively few compared to after World War II. World War II caused an explosion in industrialization and also the modernization of processes, all kinds of chemical processes, manufacturing processes, many of them more dangerous, even more dangerous than what existed before. For instance, the fact that lead was known to be dangerous to people before World War II, but with all the bullets being fired in so many different places around the world, there was all kinds of lead all over the place. We were making lead-pointed ammunition. It was being used in all kinds of sealing processes. And it was discovered that the more lead that got used, and also it was being used in gasoline, which is a whole...
Bill, I love your call. I am going to have to step away for a second. Please call out in the future. I'm going to address your call right after we step away here. Excellent call. Really appreciate it. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about what Phil said, and we're also going to talk about how Mississippi and other states are not taking money to feed poor kids over the summer.
The The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to respond further to Phil of Minneapolis with that excellent call, and then I'm going to go to the lines. Do not hang up. We had to interrupt Phil simply because there's a schedule here, but Phil made an excellent point. He mentioned the chemicals that were developed as a result of World War II. In other words, necessity is the mother of invention. And how do you regulate these things? And what we're saying is, and he was distressed about the overturning of the Chevron doctrine, and I am too, and it hasn't been done yet, but the oral argument is this week. But if you have a modern country like ours, where it's the Wild West on regulation of things like chemicals, let's say consumer protection and a lot of other things, after Congress has already passed legislation to set up an EPA and a Consumer Protection Bureau and say, well, that's fine. They sit there and they're toothless, and any reg that they want, they have to submit to Congress, and it's not law till Congress says yes, and Congress filibusters. Congress will not pass anything, including the money to pay those agencies. That's just wrong. And these six tarantulas, and by the way, Jackson Brown had to recuse herself from one of the cases because she had handled it in the lower court. So it's going to be six tarantulas and two Democrats. This is what's happening in the government. And this is the sneaky, covert part of what the Republican Party is doing. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark?
Neil Gorsuch is out for revenge to revenge his mother's honor when she was caught, you know, not doing her job correctly when she was the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, I think back under Ronald Reagan. And Phil brought up, you know, tetraethyl lead that was added to gasoline until they got out of there. When they first discovered it, apparently the workers that were handling the stuff were getting so sick from lead poisoning, they had to give them protective gear to handle a tetraethyl lead they're adding to gasoline. Well, it turns out the tetraethyl lead, which was supposedly helping gasoline engines, actually was damaging those engines and making them not last as long. I mean, and we cannot expect our Congress to know all the rules about all the chemistry and the science behind all the chemicals that are in our environment. Well, because we need, you know, subject matter experts to actually do that stuff. And if they think this stuff is so safe, I think that the entire Republican Party should take a big old swig of mercury, lead, maybe a little radium ground in there, you know, the maximum amount of PFAS that they found in the most contaminated well across the country. And that should be their drinking water source. And that, let's see how long they last without dying of poisoning. I mean, I'm being a little hyperbolic there, but I'm tired of these guys. They don't care about what gets dumped into our environment. They're right. They want to protect babies and the unborn, but they don't want to protect them from environmental contamination.
Right. Well, and here's what bothers me is the Raimundo case is about a fisheries. The big companies all want the agencies to regulate. They want it. They want certainty. They put in input with their, you know, like DuPont and the rest with their PhDs. And that's what you want. You want people who are trained on this stuff. And once Congress sets up the EPA, you want their experts to make the regs in conjunction with comments from major industry. The problem is the fishery, these little guys don't want any regulation, and the Supreme Court is going to let the tail wag the dog by overruling the Chevron doctrine and say it's the Wild West. And the people who don't like it the most are big business, who want certainty and they want reasonable regulations. Now they're going to have no regulations. They don't want to put lead in water and cyanide and all that, but there are a lot of smaller operators that will. It's really disgusting. And the message in this thing is, if you think that it's all top line stuff, like, oh, they won't promote our military and they won't appropriate money. Yeah, it's that, but it's also going on sneakily under the surface, and be very careful about it. David Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Dave?
Yeah. Hi. You know, with the EPA case last term and the Chevron doctrine case this term, this is just one example of many in which the Supreme Court, which can't be appealed from, has not only ruled in accordance, almost strict accordance, with Republican Party doctrine, but they're grabbing power. They're arrogating power that they do not have in accordance with our system of balance of power, checks and balances. So, and they're taking, you know, they're becoming an oligarchy. If they, well, really, they've already become that. They can't be appealed from, you know, it's 6-3. And, you know, eventually they're going to become like the standing committee of the Chinese Communist Party, that you can't appeal from the standing committee of the Politburo in China, or the billionaire Ayatollahs or the Faqih and the billionaire Ayatollahs, and or Putin and the oligarchs. You know, ultimately, it just seems that we're going in that direction, and they're eliminating Congress's ability to legislate. They're taking on regulatory power, which is an executive branch power, all to themselves, contrary to the scheme of our entire system of government.
Excellent call. And frankly, you put it graphically, and I couldn't have done better myself. They do not have this power under the Constitution, but they're getting away with it. The Republicans won't impeach them. At some time, a point you're left with, which I don't want to see it get to, what they asked Alexander Hamilton. They said, well, the Supreme Court here, there's no recourse from them. Does that bother you? And he said, well, they don't have an army. But, you know, you don't want to get into that kind of stuff. Okay, real quick, Mississippi just opted out federal program to give poor families in Mississippi $40 a month for 3 months, 120 total, to buy food for kids who depend on lunches during the year. They said, no, it's a, we want to reject attempts to expand the welfare state. 15 of the 50 states do the same thing. Somebody in Nevada said, I don't like welfare. This is $40 a month for 3 months in the summer to buy lunches for poor kids who are used to school lunches. Wisconsin, fortunately, does accept it, but the 15, all states with Republican governors, will not take $120 a kid, and this is a defined group of the, they depend on lunches and they get free lunches so they can eat over the summer. This is as heartless and as stupid and as typical of the Republican Party as anything I've seen. You know, kick the little guy, kick the kids of the little guy, and they'll give them lunch over the summer. Very disgusting. Coming to the end of the show, great show, great callers as always. Show is about the callers. We learn a lot, and the callers learn from each other. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate, Dominic Crute, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weichert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.